Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Think Now Research Podcast. This is our monthly podcast in which we go over our most recent report. Think Now Research is a culturally integrated market research agency. We integrate Hispanic, African American, and Asian insights into custom market research for companies and government agencies looking to thrive in a changing demographic environment. You can find us on the web at thinknowresearch.com and on Twitter at thinknowtweets. My name is Mario Carrasco. I'm co-founder and principal of Think Now Research, and I'm here today with Dr. Jake Benefla, executive director at the Center for Multicultural Science. Jake, we see your work everywhere nowadays. You want to tell us a little bit more about your role at the Center for Multicultural Science?
Sure, Mario. Thanks again for the invitation. And I want to say to the audience that a lot of the work that you've done in the last couple of years has been really, you know, five star in my view, largely because you have a really good, reliable data set, nice panel that a lot of clients are working with you on, and I think you're tackling some, you know, the most fundamental, important questions that clients are challenged with. So I'm director at the no problem, of course, at the Center for Multicultural Science. I started this in 2010. The center basically is a nonprofit, nonpartisan think tank focused on multicultural marketing research. And I started it after 20, 25 years in the industry working in different ad agencies. And the thing that I was missing the most was credible research. And we were doing research, you know, clients pay for research, the media pays for research. But what I was missing is research that has a lot of objectivity, research that is rounded or rooted in the consumer versus a business model. And so that is what I've been working on. I work with clients across every category. We we do research across the year, and I'm also a founding editor for the Journal of Cultural Marketing Strategy, which I started 3 years ago, which Think Now is a founding member of. And so we publish rigorous research, empirical research in that journal. It publishes twice a year and is published by a global publisher called Henry Stewart Publications out of the UK. So I've been pretty busy. I do what you do. I focus on the research questions and I try to do the best that I can to answer the gaps that are out there.
Yeah, great. And I think I want to add that, you know, you bring that academic rigor to a market that's kind of been lacking that, but it's not focused entirely on academics, right? There's some real world implications there. And if people want to subscribe to the journal, Jake, how would they do that?
They can actually just have them email me at jake@multicultural-science.org. And I'll connect them with a special rate, given that this is a podcast from Think Now Research. We'll work out a deal and I'll get them connected to the publisher quickly.
Great, great. Well, again, thanks for joining us. It's great to have you. And this month we'll be going over our Think Now Affinity study. Think Now Affinity is focused on multicultural brand loyalty. So the report that we're going to be reviewing here together is available for download at no cost on thinknowresearch.com in our download section. Feel free to pause the podcast now and download so you can follow along, and we'll do our best to explain the data we're discussing. Briefly on methodology, we conducted an online survey January of this month among a representative sample of 500 Hispanics, 250 non-Hispanic whites, 250 African Americans, and 250 Asians. So Jake, before we dive in, I know you've done a lot of work on brand loyalty lately. You know, we took some basic CPG items that everyone has to buy, and the thinking there that theoretically this is the best proxy for quote unquote true brand loyalty from our perspective. I know you're an advocate for vertical specific brand loyalty metrics, especially among Hispanics. Can you tell us kind of a little bit more about your work there and kind of, you know, what you think about our approach?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Thanks again for the invitation. Nalene Leslie, who just graduated from FSU, the Corzine School of Business over there up in Florida, she and I wrote a paper published in the Journal of Cultural Marketing Strategy last issue on brand loyalty, specifically in carbonated soda category. So we were trying to do two things. One is validate a unidimensional brand loyalty scale that looked at over 20 different drivers in brand loyalty. And we were looking at specifically three brands, Pepsi, Coke, and Dr. Pepper. And we took a vertical approach because, you know, as you know, buying a car and buying a pack of gum are very two different journeys to purchase, right? And yeah. So there has to be different drivers in each of these categories. So, you know, we didn't want to overpromise anything. And so we wanted to just kind of look at one category specifically and look at the drivers across the cultural groups. I have to say that we worked on this together. We leveraged your nationally representative panel, one of the few in the country, I should say. And so I was really happy with the results, and there are a lot of parallels between that study and the work that you're doing right now.
Yeah, no, that's great. And so, you know, jumping into our data here, and for those of you following along who've downloaded the report, we're on slide 5. We talk a little bit about brand switching, right, as a proxy for brand loyalty. And the categories that we tested were, again, basic CPG categories, laundry detergent, toothpaste, bottled water, toilet tissue, dishwashing soap, paper towels, and shampoo. We combined the responses across a nationally representative sample, people that always mostly buy the same brand in these categories, mostly buy the same brand and always buy. And I think what stands out here when we look at total market, Hispanics, whites, African American, Asians, and how we're defining total market here, by the way, is the combining of all of these groups, right? Is that Hispanics aren't the one that rose to the top. In fact, non-Hispanic whites were at the top, 59% stating that they always or mostly buy the same brand. Hispanics number two there at 55%, and not too far behind African Americans at 54%. I think the long kind of standing wisdom in the industry, Jake, has been Hispanics always more brand loyal. And we've seen this kind of waning. I mean, do you want to kind of give your thoughts on what you thought about this slide and where this wisdom comes from or where it's going?
No, I appreciate the question. And I think slide 5 is very, very interesting and perhaps an eye-opening moment for a lot of people. You know, I've been in the industry for over 2 decades. And, you know, ever since I was in my mid-20s, I would hear advertising agencies tout, hey, Hispanics are brand loyal. Yet I had never seen any definitive proof. And then we talk about the Hispanic market in aggregate without talking about these categories and these brands, right? And so I started thinking critically about what we said and what we continue to say, actually. And I think the study here confirms what I saw as well when I did the carbonated soda category study, which was that brand loyalty is not driven by the Hispanic consumer. And look at you, you're looking at different categories. So here you have a nice sort of parallel, like I said before, I don't know if it's validation, but at least from my perspective, you have CPG categories, and I think there's what, like 7 or 8, and right. I've got a category that's a $1 billion category, carbonated sodas, and we see that whites are driving the brand loyalty, not necessarily Hispanic. We also see, African American coming up at the top, which I also saw in my study. So again, we see some really nice parallels here across different categories, which I think is telling of something much larger.
I agree, and also I kind of dismissed the Asian finding, right, because they're at the lowest. However, if you look at the top box that always buy the same brand, they're actually at the top. 26% of Asians stating that they always buy the same brand. So they're not as brand loyal and top two box and aggregate, but really pop at the always buy the same brand, which I think is interesting.
Yep. Yep.
And then to your point, you know, looking at slide six, you know, that slide five was an aggregate. Slide six, we're looking at the same question, but we break it out by those multiple categories. And I think, you know, I want to talk a little bit about bottled water. That's actually a pretty big thing in the news right now. I don't know if you've heard in terms of sales. It's starting to outpace carbonated soda category. And so, you know, bottled water, I think it's going to be is big, right? I think that's where this is all going. And so looking specifically at that, interestingly, again, Hispanics aren't at the top of the list in terms of brand loyalty. We see non-Hispanic whites at the top there, 63%. Number two, African-Americans. And then third on brand loyalty is are Hispanic. So I think that's, again, another interesting finding. You know, when you break it out, we're still not seeing that narrative, right?
Yeah. No, so I think this is, again, this is a really nice double click into slide five, as you mentioned. What I like about this piece, this slide right here, is that you really, you know, one of the things that you want to control is the variable of price, because price really will sometimes determine, depending on the category, the degree to which one is loyal, right? Because there's a lot of brand switching, and so if you're not loyal, then what's the variable or the variables, plural, that are driving this fluctuation. So what I like about your methodology, Mario, is that you're really consistent. I like the price point that I see across these products, the fact that we're talking about a CPG category. So there's really nice methodological rigor in here. The fact that you see Hispanics not, you know, at the top of the list isn't surprising, you know? So like, this is a nice double click into what we just saw. And it's really consistent with, you know, with what I've seen. So I think what we need to do, Mario, is, and I think the most important thing, and this is probably the toughest thing for the industry to do, is to really let go of their mental models that they have ascribed to for some time. Maybe it's a decade, two decades, whatever. But, you know, when you have data and you can understand the methodology, right, and you have a nationally representative study, then it's hard to push back against data like that. And then you got to go back to sort of the mental model and say, well, why are Hispanics brand loyal and where did that come from? You know, my sense, Mario, is that we were looking at the world in a very sort of simplistic manner. And at that time, we were trying to sort of validate the existence of a market. And there's no doubt there is brand loyalty. But when you start looking at things across categories, across consumer groups, you know, now this is 2017, not 1990 or 2000, things have changed. And so I think, you know, there's a lot more sophistication. There's a lot more options for these consumers. And so it's not as simple as it used to be.
I totally agree. And I think a lot of that narrative was driven by the less acculturated. And I want to jump to that slide nine, that looks at brand loyalty across the three acculturation groups. And there's some controversy there, of course, but less acculturated by culture and more acculturated. But before we get into that, you mentioned price being a driver of brand loyalty. Can you talk a little bit about your perspective there?
I think you want to look at, this is what we did for the the soda category study. We looked at 21 or 22 different drivers, and you know, a lot of the brand loyalty is driven not so much by culture, right? It's not that culture drives brand loyalty, it's the product offering. So so a lot of times people are buying, you know, there's a repeat purchase, which is a proxy to brand loyalty, but the double click there is critical. Like, why are people buying that product more often? Why are Hispanics over-indexing in the consumption or purchase of that product? And a lot of times it's the answer lies in the four P's. It lies in the marketing mix. So why did we see that Latinos are much more brand loyal to Dr. Pepper than they were with Pepsi and Coke? Well, the reason we felt, this is sort of our, you know, assessment of the data, of the findings, is that you have a unique flavor profile that cannot be replicated or bought somewhere else. So if your product stands for something unique, like the flavor of Dr. Pepper, whether you love it or not, right?
Yeah.
It is not the same as Coke or Pepsi. Now, Pepsi and Coke, they're slightly different, but the flavor profile definitely is much similar to each other. So
right.
The fact that we see brand loyalty with a product that has a brand value proposition, if you will, that is so different from its competitive set may actually be the explaining reason, the explanatory variable for why consumers are more brand loyal to that product than to Coke and to Pepsi. So I think, you know, the answer lies more within the actual mix, including price, than say, oh my God, you know, this is a cultural difference. You know, because there's nothing really cultural about brand loyalty from a cultural perspective.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No,
I think that's sort of what we are saying, that there may be some cultural variables in there, that might be some cultural factors. But before we go there, I think we've got to look at the marketing mix and see what we can do to drive brand loyalty, which is no different than what the general market does with brand loyalty and its consumers and products.
Totally agree. And I think that as an industry, we fall victim to that, right? We immediately go towards culture. And we should definitely be aware of that. But like you said, we have to look at the marketing mix. And what I was saying earlier about, you know, what is driving, you know, in the 90s and 2000s, this narrative, I think really the narrative about the less acculturated, right, the recently immigrated, it was a good story. It's a good story for a brand to hear, hey, if you get someone, you know, Hispanic that recently migrated, they're more brand loyal. You get them to purchase your brand. Not only do you have that individual, you have that individual's family, right, the second generation. And so I think that a lot of it was driven by that. And so we wanted to take a look at that on slide 9, you know, brand purchase behavior by Hispanic segments. And looking at the less acculturated, they're actually no more brand loyal than the more acculturated. And I think the really interesting thing here is the bicultural, you know, kind of at the top in terms of brand loyalty. And when we talk about this, it kind of goes against that what you would normally think, right? You know, that a bicultural being more brand loyal, but they're actually significantly more brand loyal than their less acculturated counterparts. I mean, what do you think is driving that?
Yeah. So let me kind of just make the parallel to our study. We didn't look at acculturation differences, but we did look at the differences in nativity. So we looked at the difference between U.S.-born and foreign-born. And we found that the U.S.-born were more loyal, brand loyal, than the foreign-born. And again, in the category of carbonated soda, you know, the fact that we have a very different value proposition compared to, you know, for Dr. Pepper versus Coke and Pepsi, you know, the U.S.-born may actually be the target that actually prefers or is better aware of the product. It may have a profile that is supportive of the flavor than the foreign-born. Now, the foreign-born is really interesting because there might be some things in the research that suggest that the foreign-born may not be as brand loyal as we think they are, but they may actually have a smaller consideration set. In other words, when you come to this country, you know, they come with a number or limited number of brands in the consideration set based on what they know from their foreign country, right, from their home country.
Right.
They come here and they're at ground zero. They're learning about Colgate. They're learning about Crest. Or maybe they don't learn too much about Colgate. They already know Colgate. That's what they were using in Mexico or in Latin America, right? And so like. So if they're buying something on a repeated basis, is it that they have a brand preference? Are we talking about brand loyalty? Or is it that they already have that product in the consideration set and they're operating based on 3 products versus 8 in their consideration set? So it's not so much that they're driving brand, it's not so much that they're driving sales because of the brand loyalty, but it might be other factors that we're not even measuring or accounting for. Does that make sense?
No, it totally makes sense.
More product, the fact that they're buying more products could also be a function of a bigger, larger household, right? And the repeat purchase is now 3x or 2x compared to the general market.
Yep.
And so that may be driven by sheer demographic differences, which typically is the case for a foreign-born or first-generation Hispanic. So there's some things in here that we don't see in the data that could explain for brand purchase behavior by Hispanics, or maybe even in the Asian community as well. But the fact that you have a higher incidence among bicultural and sort of a tie or a parity between the less enculturated and the more enculturated, you know, I think that's not surprising to me. But I think to double click and to understand why that is would take some additional qualitative research.
No, I agree. And, you know, believe it or not, we're already up against our 30 minutes and we've only talked about a couple of slides. So always great to talk to you. We got to invite you back here for our next study. For those of you interested in the study, again, you can find it at thinknowresearch.com in our download section. Dr. Jake, thanks again for joining us.
Thanks for having me.